Well, thank you very much. We sure appreciate you having us here. I'm very thankful to be here. Just want to share a little bit before we get started. My hope here as I share with you today is to tell you more about the mission of our church, the vision of our ministry, and also to inspire you to reach out to your local community here in Sierra Vista with the gospel. Like Jerry said, my name is John, my wife is Jan. We've been working in the ministry been married for 7 years. Our church, from the very beginning, has been reaching out to the U of A campus as often as possible, telling as many people as possible about Jesus. So I'd like to read a verse here out of Luke 10. If you can please turn to Luke 10:2 if you have your Bibles with you. I hope to inspire you with this verse today. I'll read it aloud here. It says, Luke 10:2 says, "And he was saying to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" So that's us. We're the laborers. And I want to let you know that just because Jan and I do this full time doesn't mean that we're the only laborers. Your laborers here in your community, as you witness to people, as your salt and light to this city. And before we get into some of the details of this, I'd like to just quickly share my testimony with you. I grew up in a town north of here, northwest, called Casa Grande. I was born and raised. I didn't grow up going to church or anything like that. My parents just kind of said, "You can believe what you want and do what you want," which was fine with me. So anyway, when I came to the U of A for school, I didn't really have any interest in God, didn't have any interest in going to church, like many students. I was interested in pursuing my academic career and kind of just doing what else. I was away from home for the first time, so I was excited just to see what was out there. And so when I went to school, my freshman year was actually a very difficult time for me. I was away from home for the first time. My friends were different. I was making new friends. I was challenged with school. And, you know, I started to think about some of the big questions I hadn't really thought that hard about before. Why am I doing this? Why am I here at college? What am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do for my career? Who am I going to marry? These are all questions that I could see on the horizon. I was really an adult for the first time on my own. And so that was a challenging time for me. When the questions got hard, I tried to do things to help myself to forget. But by the time my sophomore year rolled around, I was really at a point of desperation. I started to think more and more about this stuff. And in fact, I was so desperate that I actually decided to pray. That's how desperate I got. That's about as desperate as I could have been. I prayed one night and I said, "Jesus," or "God," I said, "I don't even know if you're real or not. And I don't even know if I could believe in you just by starting to go to church or something like that. But if you're real, I pray that you'd give me a sign. I really have to have some kind of a sign to be able to break that boundary in my mind as to whether or not God's real." So anyway, the next day I was walking around campus. I'd kind of forgotten about what I'd prayed for the night before. And I had a lot of stuff to do. It was the middle of the semester. And all of a sudden I'm walking just down one of the pathways on campus and a guy stops me. And he says, "Hey, can I ask you a few questions about God and what you believe?" And I was just kind of like, "Okay, sure, you know." And as he started to ask me those questions, I remembered praying that prayer the night before, and it just struck me like a bolt of lightning that this is it. I just prayed that God would give me a sign. And here God is giving me that sign. And so for me, it was over. I knew it was true. I knew that God wanted me to meet this man. And I knew that God wanted me to know this truth, the Bible, the gospel. So shortly after that, in a Bible study, I prayed with him to surrender my life to Jesus. And I've just been on fire for the Lord ever since. I got baptized in water. I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I started on a path of hearing and obeying God's will for my life. I had no idea what anything about the Bible. I was a blank slate. You would ask me who people were in the Bible, who David was, who's Moses, who's Abraham. I have no idea, was my answer. So that's where I started. So a little bit about our church. It was started about 30 years ago, and our primary focus has been reaching the university campus. Small beginnings. It started with just a handful of people, and now our staff, our full-time staff, if you're counting their families and stuff, it's over 50 people, just full-time in the ministry. Hundreds of people coming to church on Sunday. Our mission, like Jerry mentioned some of this, is to reach college students at the University of Arizona with the gospel and to disciple them according to the Word of God under the authority of the local church. So our hope is obviously for people to get saved, but we don't want to just leave it there and say, great, you got saved, well, good luck. We want to see people, we ask people when they get saved, all right, now let's look at what the Bible says people did. They got saved and they came into the church. So why don't you pray about where God has called you? And so that's the foundation that we try to build into people's lives. Pray about what God has for you to do with your life, and then obey. And so, as these young men and women graduate and mature, grow in grace, they become witnesses of Christ in their homes, with their families, in their workplaces, salt and light to our city, and drawing others to Jesus. We've seen many, many examples of this. As families, kind of like ours, they start small, but then they grow. Their children become witnesses in their schools, witnesses in their classrooms. We've seen a lot of people who have their children invite their friends to church, have seen people get saved as a result of that. People bring their coworkers. And so we can see this biblical response in the people of the church. And that's our hope, that's our goal. So as we grow together, our hope is that our church might become a model for other churches to be birthed on other campuses. And we've seen so far, 9 churches have been birthed around the country and also around the world. There's one in New Zealand, so we can say the world too. The newest one just started in December, planted at ASU. I'm still not ready to be a Sun Devils fan, but I don't know if I can go there, but I do like that they're very nice people over there. So I think on this next slide, there's a picture of this is the staff and their families. We're in there somewhere. Don't worry, we're in there. And so we've seen our staff even grow in this last year. We're beginning to see a time where we can send out new churches from our church. The church that came to ASU actually came from a church that we started in Colorado. So it's like a grand baby church. So we have 5 new guys going on staff this past semester this year. 3 of them have already finished raising their support. There's 2 more who are working on it. And so we're really excited to see what the Lord's going to do here in the future. So, you know, we're on campus. The reason that we're there is to evangelize to college students during a very crucial time in their lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, this was me. I came to a point in my life where I was desperate to know Jesus. And I'm so thankful that there was somebody there on campus to share the gospel with me. And, you know, there's many, many people just like me on that campus, at the U of A, at ASU, all around the country. And so our goal is to be able to have a presence on those campuses so that we can witness to those people. I'm so glad that when I was able to, when I cried out to God, there was a response from heaven. I'm so thankful for Jesus for that. And my hope is to see people get saved as a result of our ministry more and more, increasing every year. So we want to change. We believe that if we can change that campus, we can change the world. The reason being is that the future leaders of our country, many of them are on the college campuses right now. They need to get saved. We want our country to have a great future. We want our children and our families to have a great future. College campuses are pretty wild and crazy and dark places. I probably wouldn't have returned to my college campus if I wasn't a campus minister. But if you've been there, you can kind of remember looking back. The professors are instilling, humanism, liberalism, all kinds of these bad isms that we don't like. And they have a captive audience. There's a lot of rampant alcohol, substance abuse on campuses. The people are lost. If you want an example of this, just go to campus on a big game day. It's unbelievable. But these are people's children. I can't imagine my kids in that situation. But that's where I was. I was just as lost. But we know that the Lord desires to seek and save the lost. So that's why we're there. the campus is also, it's an amazing doorway to the world. There are over 43,000 students that attend the U of A, that attended the U of A last year. It's like this population of Sierra Vista, or the population of Casa Grande, where I'm from. It's like the U of A is like a little city. And the number that come to the U of A, it grows every year. But the interesting thing is that about 4,000 of those students are international students, and they're coming from 112 different countries. So about 1 in 10 or 1 in 11 students that you're going to meet just walking around on campus are going to be from a different country. And so when these students, we reach out to them, when they get saved, after they graduate, they go back to their own country, they have the gospel with them. It's like a reverse missionary field where you don't go to the country comes to you. And so that's why we think it's a very important place to be witnessing and sharing the gospel. Another reason is the diminishing age of salvation. 19 out of 20 people who become Christians do so before the age of 25. It's a real statistic. So for some people, this could be their last chance to hear and respond to the gospel before they just get taken away by the busyness of life. We're fighting for the next generation. Winning a new generation is always a fight. But we're there to fight for them. We're there to intercede for them, to pray them into the kingdom. We don't want to see anybody go to hell. We want to share the gospel with everybody that we can. So here's how we're doing it. Who here can think of someone in your life that you would like to share the gospel with? Me too. Now, who here thinks that they can improve on their ability to communicate and share the gospel with someone? Me too. So if we look back at Luke 10:2 here, it says that we are the workers. Now, the Lord is the one who uses us to bring in the harvest. That means that we have a responsibility to be prepared to labor for the harvest. We're the laborers. So sharing the gospel is really simple. It just takes boldness. I'm talking about with strangers. It takes boldness to share the gospel with a stranger. It also takes a love for the unsaved. I don't know if anybody can really relate to this, but sometimes young people in college can be difficult to deal with. It's not always, you don't always get, a nice response from people when you ask them what they think about Jesus. But that doesn't matter. Because the truth is the truth. So sharing the gospel is simple. What we do is we just walk around on campus. Our campus ministers walk around anywhere on campus because it's an open, free speech campus. You can really do about whatever you want. And say, can I ask you a few questions about what you believe about God? And then if they say yes, we'll use this little pamphlet. It's called a two-question test. The first question is, do you believe that you're going to heaven when you die? Now, you can get a lot of different responses to this, but it's a good filter. The second question is, why do you believe that? And this is a simple two questions to introduce the gospel to somebody. Okay, you believe that? Well, do you want to hear what the Bible says about how you can get to heaven? So that's what we do. We're talking to strangers all day. We're trying to get as big a net as we can, with as many people, as many ministers as we can, and we got to filter through, and we got to sort the fish. There's good fish, good responses. You know, there's other fish. But we try to ask every person who wants to stop is say, how much of Jesus' life did he give for you when he died on the cross? Not everybody gives the right answer. But the answer is his whole life. And then how much of your life do you think that God requires you to give him in order to be saved, if he gave his whole life for you? Now, believe it or not, there's often a disconnect there. Well, I mean, I go to church sometimes, right? I'm a good person. No, the answer is your whole life. So that's the gospel. That's it. It's simple. So being in tune with the Holy Spirit is a really important part of this. Praying in tongues, hearing a word from the Lord, being sensitive about kind of the situation and the person. As an example, one time I was walking around campus, and I was just praying, and I just was walking around. I ended up being in like the exact spot where I met a campus minister the first time. And I prayed, and I said, and I was kind of remembering it, and I said, Jesus, I pray that I would meet somebody who's just like me today, who you've been preparing. I pray that I would meet somebody like that. So lo and behold, a guy is walking across the path, classes are getting out, and I stop him. He stops, he's open. I share my testimony with him, just about how I got saved. I share the gospel with him, and he says, I can't believe this. He goes, just last night, I was praying that God would show me the truth. And we sat down right there, and he prayed to surrender his life to Jesus. So the fight's worth it. It's not always easy being out there in the sun, the heat or the cold or the rain. We don't go out as much in the summer, but we go. But that's not all. That's not like that's the right response is immediate surrender, right? That's the correct response to the gospel. But that's not always the response you get. So sometimes we'll based on people's responses, we'll invite them to Bible studies, where they can learn more. Sometimes people are like, "Well, I'm not quite ready, but I really want to learn about this." We'll always make sure to be sharing our testimonies with them. Your testimony is so important. Just sharing your testimony can unlock somebody's heart. We invite them to Sunday worship, where they can feel God's presence. They can witness his power. Oftentimes at Sunday, we'll have altar calls. On Sunday, we'll have altar calls where people can come up and get prayed for. We've seen amazing miracles, stuff that's where it's a miracle where it's instant, bones healed or legs that grow out, things like that. Yeah. And you know what's funny is to see the students' eyes when stuff like that's happening. It's like my first time to church. But that's the power of God. And just a testimony about this, something that's recently been happening in our lives. 2017 for us has so far been the most challenging year for us since we've been married. In January, we found out that Jan was pregnant. So we were very excited, very hopeful, number four. but shortly after that, we learned that she was losing the baby. So we knew that we had to turn to the Lord, and we did. We found comfort in His presence. We know that we're going to meet that little baby someday. So that was a challenge. And around the same time, Jan started having some pretty serious physical health issues. We had no idea what was going on. And so we thought maybe it was related to what had happened. And we went to one of her doctors. The doctor took some tests. And he said, well, there's a positive result here. You need to go see your primary care doctor. So we went to him. He did some more tests, got her on some medication, wasn't really sure what was going on, so she had some more positive blood tests. And he told us that the positive result was for an autoimmune disorder. This is where, like, your immune system will start to fight itself. So he referred us to a rheumatologist. Now, during this time, Jan is really in a lot of pain, almost constantly. She's bedridden for sometimes days, like a day will go by where she can't even get out of bed. So it's a very challenging time for us. And we're praying, and we're interceding, and we're finding God's comfort, you know, in His presence. Because we know that there's going to be a victory. We just don't know where it's going to come from yet. I'm trying to use myself as an example of our ministry and our witness and what we teach these students and how they can change and how their lives can be victorious. Excuse me. So, that water really helped with getting a little choked up. So we go to a rheumatologist. The rheumatologist says, you know, I see your blood results here. You have positive markers in your blood that only show up if you have lupus. Lupus is one of those little, I don't know if it's a disease or what, actually, but lupus means wolf. That's something that you don't want to have in a disease that means wolf. That's bad. You just from that, you know it's bad. She said it's, you know, once you have it, it never goes away. It's a blood there's markers that will show up your entire life in your blood if you have lupus. It can go into remission. So, you know, we saw some hope there. But she goes, we're going to do more tests. We're going to figure out a medication plan, but it's still going to take, once we figure out what medication to give you, it could take 2 to 3 months to even see any kind of relief. So that was it was kind of a challenging doctor's appointment for us. But we're still praying and we're still believing. So this has now brought us all the way to the end of April. All this kind of doctor's appointments, different, going to different things, specialists. And now May 11th comes, and we go to the doctor for this appointment where we're thinking, this is going to be, we're going to kind of get the verdict where we got to figure out all the medication and, you know, we're still going to have to deal with this. And the doctor comes in the office, and Jan has been on a lot of different medications during this time to try to combat the symptoms, but not the root cause. So we go into the doctor's office. The doctor walks in and says, you know, we're going to have to rethink this. She shows us the blood tests, and every single blood test that was positive before is negative. Yeah. Boy, what a doctor's appointment. Everything was negative. She said, you don't have lupus. You don't have anything. Everything's normal. So we just said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for giving her new blood. Boy. So we actually weren't even sure how it was going to work out kind of going into this until May 11th. We weren't sure if Jan could even be here. But she's here today. And we give all the glory to the Lord. So I'm so thankful for our ministry and our church, for the elders of our church for praying for us. I'm so thankful to Jesus. So that's part of the impact of our ministry, is teaching people and being an example for them so that they can see victory, so that they know how to fight and to fight fear. If you let fear come in when you get sick like this, it can just destroy. So some of the other impact here is over this last calendar school year, our staff has had the opportunity to share the gospel with over 13,000 students. That's 13,000 seeds going out. Now, 2,400 of them, nearly 2,400 were positive responses saying they want to come to a Bible study, they want to come to church, they want to do something. And so from that, there were 548 new students in a Bible study this last year. These are students just like me, just like I was, just like Eric. And then we had 2,181 individual Bible studies meet. Some of those could be recurring. So we're so thankful for this. We're so thankful for the reach of our ministry. Now, I did say there's 43,000 that go to U of A, right? So this is about a fourth. So there's always more. Every semester is new. There's always students who need to hear the gospel. But if you think about this and these kind of numbers, and then you start to broaden your horizon and broaden your vision, and you see now that there's nine other churches that are doing this. So multiply this number, maybe not quite by nine, because some of them are newer, and then start to see those churches grow, and those churches be able to send out others. We're just at the very beginning of being able to see a real growth and expansion in our ministry, and it's so exciting. Our hope is to see one of these churches on every single major college campus in the country. Jan and I have been doing this for 11 years, and that entire time we've raised our financial support completely, 100%. So if you feel the Lord leading you, you know, we need partners. We need that. We need monthly partnership. So please feel free to come and talk to us. Please feel free to introduce yourselves. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to send you our newsletter. We'd love to keep in touch and keep you up to date. We'd love to know when you have somebody coming to the U of A who we can reach out to, who we can bring in, who we can help take care of. Thank you very much for having us here today. We really, really appreciate it.